Go ahead and take your Bibles, if you would, turn to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 10. We'll be there in just a moment, Luke chapter 10. You know, last week we saw the disciples, they went, into a boat with Jesus. And we remember that Jesus questioned their faith. He basically told them that they had puny faith. And we realized that they were just learning and walking with Jesus. Their walk with him had just began. So they were growing in this, and it's the same thing for us. When we get saved and start trusting the Lord, we start growing in our faith. But part of growing in that faith is spending time with Jesus. That's kind of what's important. And so as we continue to look to him and trust him, he's going to show us and reveal to us those things which he would like to encourage us to do. And he's going to challenge us always. He's not going to just let us, I mean, there are times of rest, obviously, but through the Word of God, we're going to be challenged in how to live, how to think differently, which is the beginning of all things. It's renewing the mind, and Romans chapter 12 tells us. So it's important that we look to Jesus and we trust him. You know, I'm reminded that the Christian life is a marathon race and not a sprint. It's a war and not just one battle. We have the victory, but yet we still have to fight, even though we have the victory. The Bible teaches us we're to contend for the faith. It's a relationship, and it's not a religion, and it is always growing, yet still dying. Growing in the spirit and dying to self. It's a constant thing that happens in the Christian life. And it's all really indicative on how much time we spend with Jesus. And this morning, I want to preach a message I've entitled, At the Feet of Jesus. And we're going to look at that. I want you to go ahead and stand if you found your place in Luke chapter 10. Verse 38 is the verse, verse 38. And again, you'll know this as soon as we start reading this. But Luke chapter 10, verse 38. We're going to see this morning, if you're taking notes in a minute, I'll repeat these. We're going to see a contrast. We're going to see the concerned. We're going to see the contendent. And then also a contentment, and we're also going to see a choice. Let's begin reading in verse 38 of chapter 10, Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for sending Jesus to die for us. Father, we come to this place. We come to Calvary Bible Church as a group of people, of believers. We are the church, but this building, that we meet together that we might hear the words of Jesus. And Father, I pray this morning that'd be exactly what is shared. I pray that the words that I share are not mine, but yours. And I pray that you would help us to have tender hearts to receive that which you have given to us. For whenever the word is read or opened, this is you speaking to us. And Father, I pray now you would guide and direct, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So right away we see a contrast. I got something in my pocket. See a contrast, and it's really of two people. There's one named Martha, and the other is Mary. And both of these people, I believe, had seen the miracles that Jesus had done, and later on we'll find out that they're actually going to, Jesus is going to raise their brother Lazarus from the grave, but this is prior to that. But they seen Jesus, and I suggest to you that they both love Jesus and care for him very much. Martha, she invited Jesus to her house. In verse 38, it says, Now it came to pass as they went that they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. So she invited him into her house, and no doubt she wanted to do something special for Jesus. She really had some plans. And we see that Martha was running around. She was focused on serving. That word serving comes from diakon, which means attendance. So she's focused on giving attendance to Jesus, which is a good thing for sure. That root of that word there is the same root that is translated deacon, by the way, if you're taking notes. And I would like to suggest to you to come with a pen and paper and take notes. Why? Because it'll help you to go back and look these things up for yourself. The phrase here that she was cumbered is a Greek word. It's per e spa o. And it means to drag around, figuratively to distract, and then it has in parentheses, with care. So she's doing something, she's serving, she's doing it cumbersomely, so she's dragging around, she's making noise probably, and she's doing it because she cares for Jesus, but yet she's being a distraction, okay? We can come to church and be a distraction by getting up and going out all the time. That's a distraction. It's not just distraction. It doesn't distract me so much as other people around you. That's what she's kind of doing. She's being a distraction in this sense. Her sister, of course, is named Mary. And we've studied Mary many times and read much about her. When Jesus came, Mary, she sat at Jesus' feet. We don't see her running around. We don't see her being cumbersome. We don't see her trying to get things ready for Jesus. You know how it is when you have guests over. When we have guests over, you know, you work hard, you clean up things, you get everything ready. Sometimes my wife calls me and says, can you help me do this? We got to hurry and get these things done. And usually sometimes it ends up finding a box or a bag and we'll throw it all in there and hide it for a little while. You know, that happens sometimes too. But she's not doing any of that. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus. And we've seen her, we will see her later on if we study our Bible, that she will be doing this again. This is the attitude and the desire she has. In fact, turn over to John chapter 12 for just a second. Hold your place there because we will come back. But in John chapter 12, when Jesus went to Bethany, we see this, and this is after the raising of Lazarus. In John chapter 12, we see the same situation. You find your place there, John chapter 12, look at verse 1. John chapter 12, verse 1. Verse 2 is the one we want to get to and 3, but we'll start in verse 1. It says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. Again, Martha is serving. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment and of spikenard, very costly, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. So it's interesting, we see Mary again at the feet of Jesus. And we see her attending to Jesus' personal needs in this case. So we see that her focus was on spending time with Jesus. Now, Martha is focused on meeting Jesus' needs. She's there. She's concerned, if you will. She is the concerned. We've seen the contrast. Now we see the concern. Look at verse 40. It says, but Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. So here, she was trying to please Jesus. She wanted everything to turn out right. You know, you want the pie to look right. You want this to be everything look nice and stuff like that. When I go to eat, I just take a spoon and I dip it in there and it don't look nice anymore. But I understand how it is when you want to serve something and you care about that. I can imagine Martha had that same idea in her head. But she needed some help. There was so much to do. And she really needed her sister's help, but her sister was just sitting around at the feet of Jesus. She asked Jesus, says, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Lord, look at me. I'm doing this stuff for you, and don't you care about I'm having to do all this work? And she goes on and says, if you do care, she says, if so, she said, bid her, therefore, that she help me. In other words, tell Martha to get up and come over here and help me. She was troubled. She wanted to get all this done. But the problem was, she really couldn't see the most important thing. See, she was serving. She was busy doing that which she thought was right, which she wanted to have this dinner to turn out well. She was serving the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ himself. And she was really busy trying to do this. And Jesus told her, he didn't call her name once, but he called her name twice. And you probably can realize why. You've had to call people twice, have you not? You get so busy sometimes. Now, maybe not in your kids' deal, but maybe they're focused too. You get so focused that maybe you don't hear your name the first time. And maybe that's what's going on. But he says, Martha, Martha, twice. And he wanted to get her attention. He said, thou art careful and troubled about many things. And that phrase, thou art careful, is from the Greek word, mer-im-nan-o, and it means to be anxious about. He's saying, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus used this seven words seven times in Matthew. This word that means to be anxious about. He said in Matthew 6:25, he says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought, or don't be anxious for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? In verse 27, he says, which of you by taking thought, he says, which of you by being anxious can add one cubit unto his stature? Doesn't work. I'm actually shrinking, not getting taller. And so it doesn't work. In verse 28 of Matthew chapter 6, he says, and why take ye thought? Take ye thought is that same word. And why be anxious for raiment, the things that you put on your body? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. In verse 31 of Matthew chapter 6, he says, therefore take no thought. Therefore, don't be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? In verse 34, he said, and he uses the word three times here, he said, take, and that's the word anxious, and that goes together. Therefore, no thought, don't be anxious, or take no thought, be anxious about thought, for tomorrow shall take care, or shall take thought for the things of itself. In other words, tomorrow may be anxious for its own self, but we aren't. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. He's saying we don't need to worry about what another day will bring forth because we don't know. And to be anxious about it is worthless. It's a waste of time. But yet we do it anyway, do we not? Yes, I do, all the time. In Philippians 4:6, he used the same word when he said, be careful. In other words, he's saying don't be anxious or don't be anxious for nothing. He says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So, in other words, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, go to God. And that's as we see, Jesus is trying to teach Martha here, is you don't need to be anxious about these things, but go to God. And we'll see that as we go on. But he also said, and you're troubled about many things. And that word trouble is a Greek word that's torbadzo. It's the idea of being disturbed. She was disturbed. Why? Because her sister wasn't helping her. She's trying to get the dinner on the table. And for her, that was the most important thing to do, was get things ready. Okay? And that's sometimes where we are in our lives. Let's get things ready. She was trying to multitask, and she needed some help. You ever been there? Amen. She was upset. Things weren't going as planned. So here we see that there's a contrast between Mary and Martha. There's also a concerned Martha. She's concerned that Mary's not helping her in doing the things that she ought to do. But then there's the contentant. Look at verse 42. It says, all right, let's go back up to verse 39, and then we'll go to verse 42. It says, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. In verse 42 says, and after he's rebuking Martha, he says, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. And so Jesus is talking to Martha. He's, in a sense, giving her a small rebuke. He says, but one thing is needful. And that word really means requirement or demand. And you could say it, one thing is demanded or required. That's what Jesus is saying. And he said, Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. The good part is that which is beneficial. If you look at the Greek word, it means beneficial. The things that are beneficial. And that's what we want as Christians, is the things that are beneficial to our lives that would glorify God. Not beneficial to our lives to promote us. And that's kind of what the teaching is here. He says, it's something that cannot be taken away. In other words, when we worship and we study and sit at the feet of Jesus, that's something that we can have that will not be taken away. Okay? And it was the fact that she was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And verse 39 again, what was she doing at the feet of Jesus? Hearing his word. That's what she was doing, hearing his word. She was listening, probably hanging on everything that he had to say. Why was that important? Because, again, Jesus Christ is God. And she's sitting at God's feet, and she's listening to what he has to say. To the very words. Even though Martha is being making a distraction by being cumbered about and troubled and running around trying to get this done, yet she's still listening to Jesus. Mary didn't say anything to Martha. Jesus spoke to Martha. He's the one who interceded and told Martha that it was better that you do as Mary has done and sit at my feet. You see, sitting at the feet of Jesus changes lives. Remember the story of the man of Gadara. Remember him? This guy he didn't have any clothes on. He was destitute. He was cutting himself. They tried to bind him with fetters and chains, and he broke them loose. He was a lunatic. He was a crazy man. Why? He was filled with demons, 2,000 or more, to be exact. Remember how many pigs ran into the sea? And so Jesus went across that river, or excuse me, that lake last week that we talked about when they got in that boat. That's where he went. To meet this man. And he went there on purpose to meet this man on purpose. How do I know that? Because God knows everything. He has a plan. Jesus didn't walk on this earth just walking around going, what should I do next? He knew where he was going and what he was doing. It was all laid out for him. He knew that. So he went over there and he cast out those demons. And when those demons were cast out, I want you to see where this guy ended up. In Luke chapter 8, verse 35, it says, then they went out, people came out to see this guy that they would have nothing to do with, to see what was done, and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed. He was sitting at the feet of Jesus. He was sitting at the feet of Jesus. In other words, Jesus was his Lord. And I want you to note, I'm reading this, you can turn there if you want to, 8:35. He says he was clothed and in his right mind. And these people were afraid. Why? Because he's not the same guy that he was. He is a peculiar person. He is a person in Christ. His life has been transformed. And I want to tell you something. When our lives are transformed, we're going to be a peculiar people. We're going to be different. Right mind, the mind of Christ. Clothed, we got something on. Okay. And we're going to sit at the feet of Jesus. That's interesting. So we've seen the contrast, Mary and Martha. Mary busy serving, Martha sitting at the feet, or excuse me, Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. I always want to say Mary, Martha. This is Martha and Mary. Martha was busy and Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. So there's the contrast. There was concern in Martha in the fact that she wasn't getting the help she wanted. She needed some help. And then we see the contentment was Mary. Just listening to Jesus, hearing the words that Jesus spoke. This morning, I want you to know there's a choice. We see that choice. Just like the two thieves on the cross, just like Mary and Martha, many times in the Bible, you see that we all have choices. And you know what? God allows us to make those choices. Bad choices or good choices. He does that. And a witness of that, and I can give testimony of that. Many times I've made bad choices. And obviously there's a balance in the Christian life for sure, because we are to be serving, are we not? We are to be doing, are we not? Yes, we are. But the problem is, before we do, we need to know what to do, do we not? In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, go ahead and turn there. Exercise your fingers. It might stimulate your movement a little bit in your eyes. Go to Ephesians chapter 4 for a second. Again, we've read this many, many times, and I'm sure you'll hear it many, many more times. But in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 11, it says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Now, that's interesting when you look at that, because we are to be serving. It says it right here. For the work of the ministry, right? But what does it say before that? He said he gave some preachers, okay, and some other people too, teachers, and we don't have the apostles and prophets and those guys anymore. But he gave them for what reason? For the perfecting of the saints. Where does the perfecting of the saints come from? By sitting at the feet of Jesus. When we sit at the feet of Jesus, here he is right here. This is Jesus. You say, how can you say that? Well, in the beginning, the Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, right? And I might have skipped a little bit there. This is Jesus. And so for us, we want to know what Jesus wants to do. And if we don't have the hearing, we're going to be misled in our doing. We are going to be like Martha, and we're going to spend more time being cumbered about and troubled about many things. I don't know about you, but there are a lot of things that have our attention today. I mean, if we were to just look at it and write it down just one day, and I'd be embarrassed and ashamed if I did this. I don't have to do it. I'm embarrassed and ashamed just thinking about it. But if I wrote down all the things I do during the day and then looked at that in respect of what I was doing with Jesus, probably very little of it would be with Jesus. You say, well, I go to work. I'm working for Jesus. Are you? Are you telling people about Christ? Are you pointing them to the Lord? Are you showing them the way? Well, that's what you have to ask yourself. But I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about the time the other, some of you get 16 hours, 8 of those to sleep. Some of you get 16 hours to work and maybe 5 hours to sleep. I know we're busy today. I know life is busy. But there's got to be some time sitting at the feet of Jesus. There's got to be some time when we're trying to find out what he wants us to do, how he wants us to live, because we get so cumbered about our jobs, with all the pleasure the world has to offer, with our Christian service even. We get cumbered about doing, but really not spending time with Jesus. You see, we have left the needful, or what is required, as Jesus told Martha. Mary's doing that which is needful. Our hearing the Lord is being neglected. We spend very little time at the feet of Jesus. And then we ask ourselves, why am I worried about all these things? I'm worried about what I got to do tomorrow and the next day and next week. Well, you don't even know what's going to happen if you're going to have next week or tomorrow. But you know you have today. And today is the day to spend time with Jesus. Chunk it out. Fix it up. You know, we are going to do what our priorities are. Let me back up. Our priorities are what we do. That's the true statement. Because I told my wife for years, honey, we got to do this, we got to do this, we got to do this. I said, honey, those are priorities. Never touched them. Didn't even go near them. But they're supposed to be priorities. Well, in my mind, I have great intentions. I'm going to get this done. You know, the old honey-do list. And there are things you don't get done because of whatever reason. If you're my case, you're a procrastinator. But the priority is what you actually do. And so you can just write it down every day, your priorities. All you got to do is say, I spent this much time doing this, spent this much time doing this. And then you can say, these are my priorities. Now, the Lord already knows what your priorities are. But do you know what your priorities are? And sometimes it takes writing them down to know. Because you think your priorities are, like I always said to my wife, these are my priorities. But they never got done, so they really weren't priorities. But we want to do that which is needful. And when we spend time with the Lord, we won't be anxious. We will learn to have that peace in our lives. Paul told us this in Philippians 4:6, which we already read, but we'll read a couple more verses. He said, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." You say, "Well, is that talking about spending time?" Yeah. Because when you pray, why do we pray? What is prayer? Prayer is talking to God. So when I pray and ask God for something, I need to go find out what the answer is. Honey, do you know what the answer is? I just prayed to God and I'm looking for the answer. Right, here's the answer. The principles, the statutes, the word of God sitting at the feet of Jesus. If we hear him, he will give us the answer. This is the answer. And this is the answer for all of us. So if I'm praying and I'm seeking God, I need to go see what the answer is. God will give me that answer. And then what happens when you have that answer? That's when the peace and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How do our hearts and minds be kept? By sitting at the feet of Jesus, in Christ Jesus, it says. And so it's so important that as we continue to grow, and that's what we're doing, every one of us are growing. Some are growing faster than others. It really depends on how much time you're willing to sit at the feet of Jesus. It's how fast you'll grow. But as we look to him, we want to know what is true. And he tells us, and I'm not going to read all of this, he says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true." And then he's got a whole list. But in John 17:17, Jesus said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And what he was saying is, for us to understand about the Bible and why we're to be separate and why we're to be different is to know the truth. Sanctify us through the truth. And he said, "Thy word is truth." Can I submit to you today that if you want to know what God wants you to do, is here in these pages in your Bible that you have. When you open this and you start studying this, you are sitting at the feet of Jesus. That's what you're doing. You're looking to him to show you and guide you. This is not man's words. If you believe that, then you need to find a church that believes that, because we don't believe that here. I believe this is God's holy word, every single one of them, except for the italicized. These are the truth of what God thinks and what God wants us to know. Just as Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, God was sharing with her, Jesus himself was sharing with her things that she needed to know. And if we don't sit at the feet of Jesus, how can we know what Jesus really wants us to do? Can we know that? We can speculate. We can guess at it. You know, we say, "God bless me in this or that," all the time. We do that. But we never confirm it through the word of God. It might be something that the Lord never wanted you to do in the first place, if it goes against Scripture. I hope that makes sense. If it doesn't, please see me. Because God's not going to bless you in things that you're going contrary to his word. And he wants us to know him. You know, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It says it pierces, or piercing even the dividing center of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Well, sometimes the mind is compared to that. But it knows our heart. It knows if we really want to do this. It knows if we really have a desire. You know what? If we're not doing this, we ought to be convicted. Can I say that again? If we're not reading the Word of God, we ought to be convicted. You say, why would that? Because you're grieving the Spirit of God. If you grieve the Spirit of God, you know what that tells you? You're a born-again Christian. You're a born-again Christian. But if you're not grieved and not reading the Word of God, you're probably not a child of God. The Bible calls you a bastard in Hebrews chapter 12. That's what the Bible teaches. And so as we study it, we want to know what God has for us. And so it's important. If you're saved, you really want. Now, I tell you, I don't read my Bible as often as I should. But I tell you, I am convicted by it. Many times. And it's like God is saying, you need to be in the Word. I said, oh, Lord, I don't have time right now. I'll get to it later or whatever. And I'm convicted by not doing it. If I miss a day, I'm convicted that I missed out on sitting at the feet of Jesus. Why is that? It's because I love God so much. No, it's because I got the Spirit of God that indwells me and gives me that desire to want to do what God wants me to do. And that's important. So we want to sit at the feet of Jesus. We want to know what he has for us. It's important because it's where we understand what. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You will have no faith if you're not in or sitting at the feet of Jesus. Where does faith come from? Right here. Faith to have the right job. Faith to have the right wife. Faith to do the right things, to live the right way, to prepare and plan. Faith right here. It comes from here. Remember Matthew chapter 6? Don't worry about what you're going to put on. Don't worry about what you're going to put in your mouth. Why? Because you can have the faith that God's going to provide. So you put him first and you trust him. Why do we not follow Christ? It's because we don't have the faith. I don't really believe what the Bible teaches, or I don't know what the Bible teaches, so I don't have the faith. It's because we're not spending time at the feet of Jesus. It is the faith that God gives us that we can know how he wants us to live. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. So let me stack on that. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So if you're not hearing the word of God, or even studying the word of God, or finding out, sitting at Jesus' feet, then you're not going to have faith. If you don't have faith, what's it say? That's right. How is your faith demonstrated? Jesus said it in John 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's what we're trying to learn as Christians, is try to be like a Mary and not so much like a Martha. There's nothing wrong with service, and Jesus wants us to serve, but he wants us to know how to serve. Some people think it's okay to steal and cheat and serve. Like, well, I won the lottery. I'm going to give the church 10%. Don't bother. Don't bother, please. Take your money and go. That's not of God. You're gambling. The Bible says you're not to do that. There's a lot of things that we don't think about and don't study out. And because we don't know the truth, we will act just like everybody else and think it's okay. God has a plan. He wants you and me to depend on him and trust him. And he didn't promise us a mansion on this earth. Where's our mansion? That's where it's at. And we're going to get that mansion for those who know him and believe in him. They're going to be there. That's why it's so important that by faith we trust him to sit at the feet of Jesus. Just like in John 14, 6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And what he's saying is that we need to come to the foot of the cross and see what Jesus has done for us. The fact that he went to that cross and he died for our sins, and yet we can't live for him. Yet we can't sit at Jesus' feet. We went to the cross and we got to the foot of the cross and we looked up and we saw Jesus and we realized we were sinners and we put him on there and we asked him to save us. But can I sit at the feet of Jesus today? I ain't got time. Don't have time. Now, if this is convicting, I've already been convicted. And I'm going to tell you something. When you read the Word of God, it convicts us. That's how you know you're saved. Or you're going to yell, amen, I agree with it. It's one or two things. If it's like, shut up, Pastor, I don't want to hear that. Well, there's a problem. And you'll have to answer to God for that. See, we come to Jesus, we come to the foot of the cross. If we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Christ was raised from the dead, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. So you put your faith in Jesus when he's there on the cross and you trust him. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That happens. You have made and took the first step of coming to Jesus or sitting at the feet of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, we've said this many times, but Jesus was sharing and he's trying to help his disciples understand. He says, come to me, y'all that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. How do we come to Jesus? Today, how can we go to Jesus? The only way I know to go to Jesus is through prayer and the Word of God. That's the only way I know. I can't think of any other way. I can't think of anybody in this room could stand for God and say, I'm God. We can't do that. Now, we can, as believers, we can point people to the Bible. If someone gets counsel from you, please, if you don't give counsel that's godly, don't give it. Stuck it back in your pocket and walk away. Why? Because it goes against Scripture. The Bible teaches us as Christians, we're to sharpen each other through the Word of God. So if you want wise counsel, find somebody sitting at the feet of Jesus, because they'll be able to give you that counsel. If they're not, stay away from them, because they're going to mislead you. Jesus said, come unto me, all that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. You know, that rest is not always laying in bed. It's a peace that passeth all understanding. And that's what God can do for us. He will give us that peace. Mary, can you imagine she having the peace that she had? She was listening to Jesus. And Martha, she was so anxious and so troubled and disturbed and cumbered about, because she wasn't sitting at the feet of Jesus. Coming unto Jesus demonstrates that we believe that he is God and that we want to hear what he has to say. You know, if you don't go to the Lord, if you don't sit at his feet, you don't read his Bible, you don't care what he has to say. Now, you don't say that. I don't say that. When I miss my Bible reading, I don't go, God, I didn't want to hear what you had to say today. I don't do that. But in essence, I do. Just like the choice of following the devil or following Christ. Everybody has a choice, and one's a default. That's following the devil. Automatically, everybody follows the devil unless they put their faith in Jesus and make an effort to follow Christ. Otherwise, the default is you're following the devil, right? The Bible teaches. The world. But listen to what he says in John 14, 22. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot. Remember, this is Judas in the boat. He says, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and he will come unto me, unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. It's important that we sit at the feet of Jesus. In that same passage in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, he tells us that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That phrase, of them that diligently seek, is a phrase that means to search out, to crave, to demand. That's what we do when we seek out the Lord. We crave him. We're demanding to find out something. It's the same word used in Matthew 6:33, which we read in Matthew chapter 6, several of the verses there, talking about being anxious. He said about that, he says, but seek ye. That is the phrase that he uses to crave, or of them that diligently seek. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So when it comes to seeking, it means we need to find out where to go, and how to know where to go, and that's through the Word of God. In Joshua 1:8, Joshua realized this, and the Lord gave him this. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Joshua experienced this in his life. When Joshua sought the Lord, and the Lord gave him the directions, he had victory. But when Joshua didn't seek the Lord, he failed. I think I mentioned this probably last week or something. But the fact is, and that's the way it is in our lives, if we're not seeking the Lord, we're going to fail. If we seek the Lord, he will reveal and give us the rewards or victory. So today I want to encourage you, we're to study, we're to labor, we're to seek out, we're to search, we're to find out what God wants us to do. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, he told Martha, it was needful. I don't know about you, but it's needful for me. And I'm just blessed because I get to do this, and God has allowed me to do it. But he wants all of us to do it, to find out. Not what we feel, not what we think, not what we've been taught, not what my daddy did, my mommy did, or whoever, but what does the Word of God say? There's no substitute for the truth. The question is this morning, are you a Martha or a Mary? Both of these people, I believe, love the Lord, want to serve Him, want to be with Him. But Mary chose that which was best when she was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Are we like Mary, sitting at the feet of Jesus and learning of Him? Are we more like Martha? Let's go do. It's important that we become a little less like Martha and a lot more like Mary, because that's going to make the difference in your Christian life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for allowing us to look at your Word. We thank you for how, as we study the Scriptures, we find out that our faith is really built on how much time we spend with you. If we want great faith to move those mountains, then we need to spend a lot of time with you, because it's going to take the Word of God to give us the faith we need to do the things you've called us to do. I pray today that we would all submit and have a desire to be like Mary, sitting at the feet of Jesus, that we would make a commitment right now, that if we're not doing it, you know all about that, if we're busy and we're cumbered in all this, that you would help us to make a commitment this morning to say, Lord, I haven't been doing what I should be doing. There are other things that are more important in my life than sitting at your feet. And Lord, I don't want it to be that way. Lord, help me that I might carve out some time to spend with you and get serious with finding out what you want me to do. I'm a Christian. That means I'm a follower of you. But I don't know where to go because I haven't been sitting at your feet. Lord, help me. Father, have your way in our lives. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and grab your hymnals and stand.